Second.
Hey, there we go. Hey, folks, thanks for coming to the Banff podcast. I'm your host, Mike Lafferty, here with game dev Mike Myler. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How you doing today?
All right. You living the dream, man. Living the dream. You're in the East Coast, right?
Yeah, in Pittsburgh. I live in Squirrelville.
Oh, in sunny Pittsburgh. All right.
We actually get as many we don't get as many rain days as Seattle, but we get as many cloudy days. Mm-hmm. So we get the same number of sunlight days as Seattle.
So it's the garden spot of the Midwest.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. And freaking co-host Jacob Blackman is here. How you doing, Jacob?
I am doing well. How about yourself?
All right. And you, Mr. Myler, Mr. Blackman, you guys have a shared backstory, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we've known each other for years, and Jacob's worked on a number of my books. Do you want to go ahead and tell him the Gen Con story?
The first time Mike and I met in person was shortly after we started working on our very, very first project together, which was with AAW Games. And we met at Gen Con at the Diana Jones Awards. And
this
Mike
is very
was
early in my career.
This is very early. And this is like, I want to say
5 years ago, 4 years
no,
ago?
No, this is more like 8 years ago.
No, I've only been in the industry 6 years. We are old.
Mike is already a little inebriated and picks me up and spins me around saying, Jacob, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that was pretty much our first meeting in person. And I was like,
this is the first time anybody's picked you up in a hug?
Yes. Well, since my dad.
That's what you call a friendly drunk.
Yes, he was a happy, friendly drunk. So it was a good first impression in meeting Mike in person.
All right. Hey, so we're going to talk about Mike's new Kickstarter project. Before we go there, you got a really cool Hero Clicks you were showing us off pre-show. I'm going to make your window super big.
Okay.
So you can show folks at home.
I was just recently at my local gaming store. They got a whole bunch of the new Hero Clicks set, and I just dropped a whole bunch of money on it. I got this big guy, which is the Supreme Kree Intelligence. And then I got like an entire brick of the brand new Justice League Unlimited Hero Clicks, which are just gorgeous. They look exactly like they do in the TV series, and there's a whole lot of figures that are just wonderful. And me and my roommate Mark were tearing through them and deciding, okay, which ones are we going to keep? Which ones are going to the repainting file? So yeah, it's great.
All right, cool. So it's not really a review because it's more just saying, "Hey, this is super fucking cool, right?" So that's
if you are a fan of HeroClix, it is a great game. This is a good set to get, and if you are a fan of the Justice League Unlimited, Bruce Timm and Paul Dini series, you might want to consider getting these figures because they are very classic representations of the DC figure, of DC characters, and everyone who's a big fan of DC really likes that show, the various shows, and these would be good figures to have to add to your miniature collection if you play superhero games.
Is there a Clix for the Question?
I'm sorry?
Does the Question have a Hero Clix figure?
Yes, like, we got a Question figure out of the set. It was actually Mark telling me we got two Question figures in the set. So,
oh, is one of them Renee?
No, they're both from the TV series.
Right. I thought Renee at some point. Well, no, that was maybe like an Ultraverse.
Yeah, that was in the comics and other shows.
But
in the Justice League Unlimited, it was just the one, the original Question.
Fix it.
Well, hey, awkward blunt force segue. Speaking of classic heroes, Mr. Mylar, you've got this new project launching with your friends over at Ian World Publishing, where you are starting up for 5e classical mythological heroes. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah. A couple of years ago, Morris, who is awesome to work for, by the way, if you never work for Morris, it's great. He asked me to start doing a column on Ian World where, like, every week I would build a character from mythology using like class levels, right? So we start with Achilles and then, you know, Blackbeard and so on. It's just like a request driven thing. So it's whatever people ask me to make gets on the list and I go through and eventually get to them all. And then, so there's two sides of the column, right? One is the mythological figures, which is like literally like, this is how you build Robin Hood as a character, right? Like he's got this many levels. These are the feats you take. This is the ability score breakdown when you have 27 points to buy with, and so on for, there are four different awesome lady pirates in it, for one. I love that so much that I got to keep all four. Grace O'Malley, who actually has a place in Ireland named after her by the queen at the time, because she was such a badass, and like snuck a dagger into the court. Anne Bonny, Ching Shi, who is like the most impressive pirate in history.
I've heard of her.
Yeah. She had a fleet of like 2,000 ships. And like at the end of it, she brokered this deal that was insane. Where it was like 300 dudes she had to like put to the gun or, you know, plank or whatever, execute. And then the rest just got to like go home and keep their winnings, which is just out of this world.
I got her a tiny picture there on screen.
Yeah. There you go. There's Ching Shi. So yeah, there's a bunch of characters like that, which are great, because like as a GM, you're like, oh, okay, Aladdin, I know that's going to be like a pretty solid thief stat block.
Wait a second, you have Conan.
Yeah, we just literally had an argument about this for the past hour and a half. So
does the Robert E. Howard estate give you any?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So like the first couple stories are public domain, but the Conan and a lot of stuff related to Conan are trademarked, and trademarks operate differently than copyright does. And copyright operates differently depending on what country you're in. So, because Ian World is a British website, I was fine to publish an article about Conan. Here's how you make Conan. But we have misgivings about printing him, so that's actually being replaced by a two-page piece of artwork, which is great. It's like Gladiator fighting a gigantic scorpion, which fits perfectly for the book. But like, yeah, we have to cut Conan, which is... I wanted to call him the Complex Barbarian. I thought, like, if we call him the Complex Barbarian and we're tongue-in-cheek about it, like, people will get that it's Conan, you know? But,
awesome. Okay, so he's PDF only is what we're saying.
He's not. That's the only time. If you want to see the PDF page, you pull it off YouTube because it ain't going nowhere else.
Really? Okay. Yeah. So any of our listeners or viewers, get to our YouTube page right now and zoom in as close as you can. And this is your... although I'm guessing he's still up on the Ian World forum somewhere, right?
He's still up on the forums, yeah.
Okay, cool. Wow, so no problems with Cthulhu then, because I see he's right here.
No problem with Cthulhu now.
Okay.
Half of it is building characters like that you can take as like use as a pre-gen character in Adventure League. And then the other half is epic monsters where it's like, I can't make you Dorian Gray using class levels. It won't be Dorian Gray.
Yeah.
I can make you Dorian Gray like thing, but if you want to have actual Dorian Gray, then he needs to have stuff you just can't get as a character. So then they're billed as monsters. So we've got Fafnir. Oh, Fafnir's so freaking cool. Do you know Smaug is based on Fafnir?
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
It's been a very enjoyable column for me because like one of my minors in college was mythology. So like, you know, this is my jam right here. And the book is wonderful. He decided to finally make it into a book instead of just, you know, by collecting all the column posts. Not all of them, most of them. I don't know, in January, February. And it's been slow cooked, and the designers take this time with everything, and all the pages look drop dead gorgeous. It's gonna be banging. He's got 1,300 people following the Kickstarter page now, and it launches on Tuesday. So we're looking at a pretty. I mean, I think that's bigger numbers than we had for A Touch More Glass, and A Touch More Glass got like $100,000 or something on Kickstarter. So.
Well, I know I'm looking forward to it because ever since you have been advertising that you're going to be putting this on Kickstarter, it's been one that I'm really been wanting to get because I saw your builds and, you know, you don't do what everyone else would do. It's like King Arthur, he's this legendary hero. I'll make him CR20. And it's like, you don't have to do that. It's a good, solid King Arthur build. It looks excellent. Excalibur is cool, but not overdone. So yeah, you did great.
Morris did make me do some stuff where I had to break things. So like Lucifer, for instance, he was like, he should be bigger than CR30. He's like the devil. So Lucifer is CR35, which is basically almost like reaching GM fiat levels. And then he had me rebuild Fenris. I have on the, I think on the website, Fenris is like CR18 or something. But now there's in the books, he's like CR33. So Fenris like eat the Tarrasque. Fenris being the world wolf from Thor and stuff like that. Yeah. Also worth mentioning, we got we hired sensitivity readers for some of the entries. So we didn't bother with like, you know, Harald Hardrada and most of Europe where we can blame lineage, like you throw a dart at Eastern and Western Europe and like hit my family. We got one for Spain, the India characters, the Middle Eastern characters, Chinese characters, Japanese characters, and I think there was another realm. But yeah, we used Salt and Sage Books, who are a wonderful service, and they gave us a lot of great like pro pointers on stuff that I've gotten wrong, and I got into a little bit of a biblical debate over stupid. That's not fair to call him stupid. I think King David is stupid. That's my personal opinion. But he appears in a bunch of different religions, right? There's a different story for King David in Christianity. There's a different one in Judaism. And there's a different one in Islam. So I spent half a night doing religious text research, which is the kind I dislike the most, to find out exactly like where and when David was given knowledge of the use of iron. I figured out that it was only in one, and I believe that was Islam, and that's because, and that was some confusion because they used the word talents, which you would think would be about like how to do something, right? No, talents used to be a measurement, like way, way, way back in the day. Yeah, so there's a ton of like really tiny little finicky historical accuracies worked throughout the book that I think are also very rewarding. I don't know. Oh, he made me cut the drop bears. I was so mad.
Well, that's a stretch goal material right there.
No, because the book's done. Because, yeah, Morris always finishes the book before it goes on Kickstarter. Because Judge Dredd, he's got, like, licensing rules with 2000 AD, right? Like, they need to approve everything that comes out. Every article, every PDF has to be fully vetted by them. So like he couldn't even do a Kickstarter book for that until like he knew that everything was good. So there, that makes sense. But otherwise, I just think he hates having hanging projects, you know?
Yeah. I'm still doing Kickstarter delivery from a year longer past. So I can understand that it's best just to have it done. So, you know, you can deliver it, get it out there and move on with your life. So, well, you've got, this is a comprehensive list of all kinds of cool stuff. You've got George Washington here.
I do have George Washington on there, yep. Somebody asked George Washington, so.
You have both Vlad the Impaler and Count Dracula.
So, Vlad,
technically two different people.
Yeah, they were two different people. We did part of the column, for, I think, for like six posts or something, while we were doing the A Touch More class Kickstarter. I did posts using classes from that book, so... Vlad the Impaler was a perfect option for, like, here's the class that turns you into a vampire. It's called the Occultist. It's great. And here's how it works, because here's Vlad the Impaler is 14th level, and look, he's a vampire. Dracula is actually more like Hollywood Dracula. If you're trying to do, like, Castlevania, like the anime at your table, like, there you go. You want the Dracula that I built, because that would fit the bill 100%. And just, like, wipe the floor with, I think I saw Strahd's stats at one point, and, like, yeah, he would just destroy it. Rightly so, because Dracula was the first vampire, but like, yeah.
And looking at St. George right here, I noticed the last part of years we talked about, you mentioned you're using a lot of high-quality public domain art.
Yes, looks like you're doing something. Use high-quality public domain art. Morris insists on a lot of custom artwork. I'm not wild about 3D artwork, but I mean, I guess the pieces he found for 3D artwork are okay. Only one of them really drives me nuts. One about with the Nautilus in it is really neat. So, like, the Captain Nemo page spread in the book is gorgeous. But, yeah, only I don't know, maybe a dozen of the pieces I picked out for the column made it into the book.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, it's there's a lot of cool stuff in there.
I saw somebody in this D&D 5e group posted one of my graphics for, like, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and he was like, how do you build this? And I was like, okay, well, here's the page where that image originates from, and like, here's a way to do it. So that was funny. I had a Jacob moment, because I assume that happens to Jacob probably, 12 times a day?
Yeah, when people come to me for Mutants Masterminds builds, it's like, yep, already done that. Here's the link.
Nice. All right, so you were just talking about Captain Nemo. I want to see if I can find him. Is he under Captain or Nemo?
Captain Nemo appears, I think, under the seas. Stupid. He's on page 176, so he under the hands, actually.
Okay, we got a ways to go to get there, so.
Yeah, that was a neat one. The sensitivity reader and I had some confusions. I don't know quite what he meant. He was talking about the provision in India in 1947, which is related to like World War II and stuff. And Captain Nemo is a character written by Jules Verne in 1870, well before that. So we did make some changes to Captain Nemo, but that was one of the only instances with the sensitivity readers where we did not make all of the changes because I just didn't quite understand what he meant.
Oh my God, you have Maui.
Yeah, we got okay. Maui. Maui's pretty cool. That was cool. One that had me built as a monster because he has this insane fish hook that like pulls up islands, which is well beyond the canon of a regular standard D&D build. So.
Oh, here we are, Captain Nemo. All right, cool.
Yeah, the artwork, new piece of artwork that was commissioned. And yeah, see the Nautilus pick? Like, that's a pretty decent piece of 3D art. I'm into that.
That's a good Nautilus, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'm just trying to imagine a campaign, some kind of world-spanning Bill and Ted time travel adventure where you get all these guys together, you know, well, or a handful, because, God, this is a huge book. You couldn't get them all together at once. But Nikolai Tesla, that's a bold choice. Congrats on doing that one.
Nikola Tesla, yeah, that was a good example. That's one of the a touch more classes, the Tinkerer, which is slightly more industrial version of the artifice, so you might well, not version of the artifice, more industrial concept. And then Paul Bunyan was a build, but then he wanted to change it, so now it's a monster.
Oh, yeah, that's probably appropriate since he's a giant. So
yeah.
Well, cool. Perseus, nice.
Yeah. Let's see, what was the thing about Perseus? Perseus wasn't actually the one to get the Pegasus.
No, that was Bellerophon.
Exactly. But like, nope, I'm a minor in that thing, right? Like, I should have known that, but when I was doing my research, I was like, holy shit, yeah, no. That was not his Pegasus. But he's kind of like the Captain America of ancient Greece, you know? Mm-hmm. So they just kind of throw stuff on him.
Mm-hmm.
Rasputin was a fun build.
Oh, I bet he was.
He's like, how do you make the character that just keeps getting back up over and over and over and over again? The answer is to use the brute fighter archetype. Because they get to add their plus bonus to saving throws to death saves. So that plus 1d4, plus 1d6. So he's just rolling relatively well, not always rolling 20s. And then that brings up another thing. So like to do all this stuff using the core, I have to take like the game mechanics and material that is not included in the 5e SRD, so not under the open gaming license, and then reword everything. So it's the same mechanics and intent, but like worded all differently because you can't copyright the wording. Mm-hmm. So if you pick up this book as a designer, it has great value for you because you can be like, well, how do I make an artificer and still use the same rules from 5e and like not have to put it on DM's Guild? Like, boom, check out Captain Nemo. He's an artificer. Just like reverse engineer and change Captain Nemo for gender neutral pronouns. So, yeah, I was really that's kind of the part that excites me the most because I'll definitely be using this all the time.
Nice. I'm making it, so. This is just a massive tome. How long have you spent working on this, Mike?
God, I don't know when the first. I can look up when the first close was.
We can safely say years, right?
Yes, I've been doing the column for years.
Okay.
The first post was March 14th, 2018, so over 2 years now, good lord. Yep, that for a while. And man, it's still going on, so like if you want to see a character and it's not already on the very convenient hyperlinked wiki page for the column, let me know. Post on one of the posts, I will see it, and I will add it to the list of cues. Preferred to get lady characters, because they're only about 33% of the like, you know, gender characters in the book are females, which is not great. So like I prioritize a request for female characters, but I'll take male characters too, you know. And yeah, as long as it's in the public domain. And I have a rule about like somebody asked for the Winchester lady, the crazy Winchester lady who made the mansion.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but she's died a little bit too recently for me to go and, you know, it feels disrespectful. So like at least 100 years from the death of a person.
I was going to say Joan of Arc, but I see she's already in there. So
she is. It's a Hollywood version of Joan of Arc. It's not the... I talk about the more like historical way to do it, which is probably honestly like a bard. But that wouldn't be very fun in play because she'd be like a third level bard.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, high charisma, third level bard.
Well, do you have wonderful great figures like Cleopatra or Shamiram?
What was the second one?
Shamiram.
Shamiram.
It's spelled like Semiramis, but it's pronounced Shamiram. She was the ancient Assyrian queen who was supposed to be like a sorcerer queen.
Ooh.
I haven't actually heard of her, but Cleopatra is right here.
Cleopatra. But yeah, Shamiram was the queen regent of the Assyrian Empire who reigned from 811 to 806 BC.
Just added Serenus. Yeah, there we go. She'll go on there now.
Excellent.
I got Queen Tamar. I think she was the last chronologically added character to the list. And then the next one on my queue is Cathay Williams. Awesome. She was like a private in the Civil War, dressed up like a guy, pulled an Anne Bonny, you might say. She's going to be, that's going to be a good one.
Hey, you ever watch Drunk History?
Yeah, I watched Drunk History, yeah. Aubrey Plaza was Cleopatra.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was thinking of Sadie the Goathead from, Stones. She was a rogue in 19th century New York. Her thing was she would run into you with her head and then mug you.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, she got into a fight with a barkeep who ripped off one of her ears and kept it in a jar behind the bar. So she fled New York for a while and was a river pirate in upstate New York. Since I'm the only person on this room who knows about her, maybe she wouldn't be a good addition for mythological figures.
No, those are great. The obscure stuff is fantastic.
Well, maybe that's for the obscure figures book, the sequel. Well,
the next book on this will be all the stuff that I wasn't allowed to keep in here. So like drop bears, for instance. Anything that was not like one specific creature, you may be cut. So Jersey Devil's still in here. Mothman is still in here.
Yeah, it's important to have the cryptids.
Yeah, it's a bunch of weird cryptids. And there's stuff like after the fact, like I would love to have Joe Majerak in here, because I didn't even know about Joe Majerak.
He's kind of like he's the Polish, or is it Czech steelworker,
right?
They're
not sure. It's Serbian. It's up in the air. But like we drove over to the statue for him, because they have one for him like right outside USS Steel. It's like 15 minutes from our house. So like there's a picture of me and my dog. And then Joe Majerak, who's like 20 feet tall and like shiny. Yeah. Yeah. So there might be another book in the mix, but it'll be a while because I got to approve posts.
You know, I got a buddy's father used to work in the steel mills in Chicago, and I just knew him from D&D and geeky stuff. And, you know, every once in a while, he started talking about work in the old days, and it was this weird transformation. He went from a normal middle-aged geek to like a character from a John Steinbeck novel. Just talking about the fights with management and, you know, dealing with the strike breakers and Pinkertons and different world entirely. But yeah, all right. So this is a cool book. We've been checking it out here. When's Kickstarter launch and how does someone sign up to get a notification when you go live?
It launches on Tuesday, June 30th, I think at noon EST or thereabouts.
Okay.
How long is the Kickstarter going to run? Is it a full month?
I think it's going to go for a full month. That sounds like his style. And that's
when are you expecting release?
Oh, he'll send out stuff immediately.
Excellent.
Oh, God, it's over 1,500 people now. Okay. All right. That's fine. That's good. That's good. That's awesome. That's great.
No pressure. No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure at all. No, none. I'm assuming
you have some stretch goals in mind.
I don't think he does. I know we have stuff to give people for free once we hit certain thresholds, but not to like increase the value of the book or change the book at all. It's okay. Villain spotlights from E-Insider. So we've got, I don't know, probably 20 or something like that, where it's it's not just a mummy lord, it's Ashak the Zealotous mummy lord, and like here's how he's different from a regular mummy lord, you know, hooks and occasionally maps and stuff like that. So there will be stuff that value adds to pledges, but like no changes to the book. The book is done, it's been proofed, it's not gonna add stuff to it.
Okay.
Go to enworld.org/mitts. And that'll take you to a landing page. At the very top, there is a link to the Kickstarter. And on Kickstarter, there's a thing you can click. It says, notify me on launch, and they'll tell you the project you've got. And then, I said, I think his record was like 6 minutes before he sent backers PDFs on the last one. So.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, we're looking at that page right now. I'll make sure to throw it into our show notes as well so people can check it out. So. And that's the story. I would check this out. Mike always does good books, and this looks like this will be a fun one to have on your shelf. Yes. Any closing thoughts before we wrap things up, guys?
I want this book. I want this book back.
Yeah, if nothing else, come and watch the project as I have a seizure whenever we get way too much money and too many backers.
It's a good problem to have, Mike. I know.
It's just, I'm an anxious person.
I understand, but most people know when Kickstarter is like, oh shit, am I going to fund? I mean, I have indie comics guys on here all the time who are like, 2 days away from the end of the campaign, and they're like, fuck, I need $1,000 more. I mean, you guys kind of have the opposite problem at Ian World. You don't really have much, doubt about whether or not you're going to fund.
Yeah.
Well, they always have a pretty nice following.
And, Morris is really good about payment. He always pays people promptly, but like this is one of those projects where I just did a whole bunch of stuff on like, even he's like, hey man, can you give me this today? And I'm like, yeah, here you go. And so how much I get as a bonus depends on how much money we make on the Kickstarter. So I have an incentive to obsessively watch it, which is bad because I'd be obsessively watching it anyway, but like now it's like, well, I'm not gonna be able to buy this thing. So
Yeah, I've only worked for him a couple of times, but every time has been a delight.
Yeah, I really, it's like, and he's candid, and I don't have to watch my words with him. It's very nice.
He gets a little grumpy on social media, though, doesn't he?
I mean, he's just being honest. That's
okay. Kind of what I like Fair enough. All right, well, hey, thanks for your time, Mike. To our backers and viewers.
I do have something relevant I can talk about real quick.
Okay,
so,
sure.
The first big thing I did for Morris is the Now system, which I ran a game for you guys. Remember, I ran the Starter Adventure. So
that was a good time,
for years and years, I've had this project to convert HyperCore 2099, which is like my superhero cyberpunk setting, over to the What's Old Is New system. And like, I finally finished the manuscript on that like 2 weeks ago. No, a week ago now. So soon there will be an awesome support setting book for the What's Old Is New system. So if you like Judge Dredd, or if you like superheroes, or if you like cyberpunk, now is a great time to come over and check it out.
Well, we're kind of a superhero-focused podcast. You should come back and talk about this. When's that launch?
Yeah, no, that's why I thought I should bring it up. Like, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So when I'll get at you whenever I'm done with layout.
All right. Sounds good. All right. I will follow up with you on that, and we'll have all links in our show notes for the mythological figures. And let me try to say this word without fucking it up. Maleficent Monsters for D&D 5e. That is some nice alliteration you have going on there. And thanks to our listeners and viewers. We'll check you next time on the Banff Podcast. And this is the awkward moment between hit and broadcast, and we actually end the broadcast. So embrace.